extend the greeting to you this morning in Jesus' precious name. Just so thankful this morning to be able to be a part of God's kingdom. What a privilege it is to be a partaker of the grace of God and be a part of His glorious kingdom. This lesson that the children are learning is about being perfect. It's amazing how people can be so, how many times and how often the Bible talks about something, and yet the whole world will argue something completely different, and they don't even know, and you can show them and it doesn't even matter. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, and we just want to thank you and praise you, Father, for redeeming us. Lord, for reaching down and awakening us, Father. We just want to give you glory and honor and praise in all things, Father. And Lord, we pray that you would help us strive to be faithful, that we might be found perfect, Father, in your sight. And Lord, again, I just want to thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Let's start out with Matthew. Verse 7, chapter 3. Verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. I want to stop right there. I've got two or three ideas, so pray that the Lord will bring them all together this morning. The first thought that I want to bring out is hearing God's voice and what it means to hear God's voice. Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Do you hear a voice in your heart and in your mind that is warning you to flee from the wrath to come? Do you hear that voice? Listen. Do you hear it? Flee from from the wrath to come. You know who's telling you that? It's the Lord. Why do we have this fear of dying? Why do we have this fear of what's going to happen when we die? Why do we have this fear of the things that I've done wrong in my past? Why do I have this fear that I need to change my life? Why do I have this fear that I need to do what's right? That's the voice of God. Why do people feel condemned whenever they read the Bible or someone speaks to them about what the Bible says? It's because God is trying to bring them to Himself. God is trying to teach us to flee the wrath to come. Why do people feel a need when they start getting closer to God and they start hearing this voice to start to dress different than they used to? Why do so many people claim to know God and claim to obey and love Jesus, can just say anything they want to? They can curse, they can lie, they can swear, they can dress ungodly, they can do whatever they want to and still think that they're a Christian. Why is that? They know the Bible verses. They've picked out a promise. What's the matter? What's the problem? It's because they have not heard in their own heart from God. We try so hard sometimes to convince someone to become a Christian. But do you know that if you convince someone to become a Christian and they haven't heard that voice of God, you've done nothing but make a twofold child of hell. You haven't made a Christian. You may have dressed them up and brought them into church. You may have put plain clothes on them and brought them to church. They may have put a covering on. They may have done a lot of right things. But if we are not hearing from God on our own, we're missing it. We're missing it. Listen. Learn to listen to God's voice. When God shows us that we've done something wrong, we need to go fix it. When God begins to speak to us, you know, the Bible talks about Elijah, when he is running, he saw a hurricane or saw a great fire, but God wasn't in it. He heard a great wind and saw a great wind, but God wasn't in it. He felt the earthquake all around him, but God wasn't in it. And then he heard a still small voice, and he trembled. Because he was hearing from God. People don't want to hear from God. And so they fill their mind with all kinds of toys and gadgets and radios and TVs and everything under the sun. And they keep it going continually because they don't want to hear and listen to God. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. You know, a lot of people don't recognize God's voice. How does God's voice sound? Whenever you get all quiet, does it sound like this deep echoing voice in your heart and in your mind? When the devil speaks to you, is it a sinister little voice speaking to you? Or does it just sound like you talking? Does it just sound like one of your own thoughts? See, when God speaks, He speaks to our mind, and we hear it just like it was our voice. And when the devil speaks to us, he speaks to our mind, and we hear him speaking just like it was our voice. Just like it was our own thoughts. So we have to listen to what's being said. It may just sound like us. And we may think, well, we're not hearing from God. And here He is just putting thoughts in our head all the time. But we just think it's some of our own thoughts, and so we've learned to brush it off. We don't even pay any attention to it anymore. The Bible says that God's law has been written in our hearts, even in the hearts of the Gentiles, in Romans 1. Romans 2. Let's just start with verse 4. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? You know, that goodness of God that leads us to repentance, we fear that. It scares us to death as humans, and we run from it. That's what the world's doing. They run from it because they don't want to hear it. It scares them. It's like when Moses came down the mountain. They said, Moses, you go up and you go tell us what he said. We don't want to hear from him. They were terrified. And that's why we don't want to hear God. We don't want to trust him. We don't want to hear him. because what he tells us might be something we already know that we should be doing, and we don't want to do it. That's why we don't hear him, because we don't want to. We don't want to hear him because he might ask us to leave our little comfort zone and get out and have to do something that's uncomfortable. So we close our minds. Not realizing that it's the very goodness of God that's trying to call us to repentance. Trying to teach us to turn or to trust in God. That's why people don't like to hear men who are preachers telling them what they're doing is wrong. Because they can kind of keep that voice in their head silenced. But then when some man comes along and says it, and it agrees with that voice in their head, then they've got two people to try to ignore. God's voice is speaking to man. But it's getting quieter and quieter and quieter. Till there's very few men that'll hear it anymore. There's very few people that'll hear it and take the time to hear that voice. That's why we don't see people just picking up the Bible and start obeying it. Because they haven't heard the voice. But someone comes along and converts them to Christianity, and then they have to become a theologian. And have to be able to explain all things and to be able to teach everybody that comes around because they've not heard the voice themselves. Listen, learn to hear that voice yourself. It's a blessing whenever we find someone and we start to say something and the gears start clicking. I know what you're saying. I've never heard it like that. I've never seen it. But I know what you're saying. Why do they say that? Because they're hearing that voice. Those are the people we're looking for. Someone that's listening to God. That's why when we preach our message to the world, it's offensive. And they hate it. Well, they're hearing God and rejecting Him. They don't want to hear that anymore. It's something to start walking into Springfield anymore and you start hearing them screaming from a block away. Oh no, here they come again. Start cursing. And then as we walk out, you hear them a block away still cursing. Don't come back. Why is it? They don't want any light there. How is it that we can take a simple little black and white sign and say, why are you throwing this in our face? And there's signs lit up, neon beer signs and advertising all kinds of wickedness flashing and going on all around them, and they don't even see them. but they hear a few words written on a piece of paper. And it's screaming in their heart and their mind. But they reject it. Then you see someone that just doesn't feel comfortable dressing the way everyone else does. They just don't feel comfortable speaking the way everyone else does. And then they come up and they start talking and they start listening and they say, "Hey, that's right. I know about that. That's who we're looking for. We're going into the enemy's territory. We're going in to a battle." It's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. You know, just thinking about the perfectness that we're talking about, a misconception. Whenever we talk about being perfect, right away, they start saying, "Who do you think you are?" Whenever we talk about living a life that we're not yielding to sin anymore, "Well, who are you?" "Who do you think you are?" They'll say, "Oh, I'm just a sinner." Well, you say, "No, well, that's fine if that's all you want to be. I'm going to be a saint." "Who do you think you are, saying you're better than I am?" Sometimes they get a little upset, don't they, Jason? Sometimes they scream at you and get right in your face and said, "I'm about this far from punching you right in the mouth." Just because you dare to say, "I'm a saint," all they see is somebody sticking their thumbs underneath their suspenders or their and saying, "I'm holier than you are." That's the voice they hear. That's not the voice we're portraying. We're saying, "I was a sinner one time, and the grace of God appeared to me and taught me and taught my heart to fear God. And I heard that voice and I yielded to it, and I don't want that anymore. And I want to be perfect. I want to be perfect. And I'm going to choose to be." What does it mean to be perfect? It means to be holy. It means to be separated and dedicated to God. It means to be doing what you know to be doing right now, that you're up to date with your Christianity. You haven't let your theological ideas run way ahead of your Christianity. That's the problem, and that's the danger we run into. We can get too smart for our legs. We can get too much for our legs. When our Christianity outruns our legs, we turn into a Pharisee. When our Christianity outruns hearing that voice of God and humbling ourselves and obeying it, we've outrun our Christianity. That's what it means to get ahead of God. God calls us to walk with Him and obey Him. And when we learn something new, we walk in that light. To be perfect, if you walked up to a first grader and you told that first grader, spell encyclopedia for me. Who's a first grader? Who's a first grader? We got any? Hold up your hand. Not one first grader. What about a kindergartner or a second grader? Second grade? Okay. How do you spell encyclopedia? Come on, you're perfect. Spell encyclopedia. You don't know? Well, how are you going to be perfect? Does anybody expect him to know how to spell encyclopedia? Does anybody in here expect him to know? No. You can tell me what an A is, though, can't you? Can you tell me what an A is? Ah? Yeah? What starts with an A? Okay. Apple starts with an A. Whenever he's learning his letters, we give him a little piece of paper with an A on it and a picture of an apple and a coloring crayon and say, now color this page in and learn how to say, ah. Apple. Apple begins with an A. And you know, at the end of the day, when he's learned that, he gets a gold star because it was perfect. That's what it means to be perfect. Is you walking in the light that you have. You hearing God's voice and just walking in the light that you have. Do you know what God wants you to do today? Do you know what you ought to be doing today? Do you know what God wants you? How God wants you to live right now? If you say, yeah, but maybe tomorrow, guess what? F. Failure. But if you're current with God, and your theology hasn't outrun your feet, and you're walking in the light that you have, you are perfect in God's eyes. I'd like to ask one of the 10th graders to spell encyclopedia, but I don't know if they could or not. We would expect it of them, wouldn't we? We know how God wants us just to simply live. We know how He wants us to speak and how He wants us to dress and how He wants us to relate to our brothers and sisters. And our mothers and fathers, and our husbands and wives. We know what we need to be doing right now. And if you're walking in that light and doing it, you're perfect. Now, if you get all proud about it, you've missed it. It's the least we can do to serve God with our whole heart and with our whole mind. It is the basis of Christianity. It is the foundation of being a Christian. Don't deceive yourself. People say we take away from Jesus because we try to obey Him and because we live a pure life. Because we just don't believe in what He did on the cross, and that just fixes everything. You know, we learned something a couple of weeks ago about the marriage. We're going to go to a marriage supper one of these days. Those who are chosen. See, many are called, but not everybody's going to be chosen. God is calling the whole world, but it's those who hear and prepare that are going to be chosen. You know, it's amazing. Brother Jeff talked about peace. There's nothing greater, no kind of peace greater than being yielded to God, walking in all the light that you have. There's just something about that, that the fears are not even there anymore. Whenever we know that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, there's a blessing in it. People are seeking for peace all over the world. They're seeking for this assurance of salvation. Well, quit seeking peace and quit seeking assurance and seek to hear God and obey Him. You won't even worry about that anymore. Because it doesn't matter. He's worthy to be served. Don't let what you know get ahead of where you're walking. It builds pride and it puffs up. God has chosen those who hear His voice. We are going to go to this bride, this supper, the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're not Christ. We're not His bride yet. We're betrothed to Him when we choose to follow Him. We're engaged. We're engaged to Him. We talked about the permanency of the covenant of marriage. Once that marriage is sealed, there's no separating it. Then we will have the eternal security that everyone talks about, thinks that they have. But we're not there yet. We haven't been to the marriage supper where the bridegroom, the groom, takes his bride for himself. What happened in a Jewish wedding is a picture after the marriage supper. Everyone was invited. And they ate the supper. And then there was a tent set up. And the man and the woman who were going to be married entered that tent. And if the woman was a virgin, they consummated the marriage. And there was some blood shed to prove that she was pure. And they would bring that sheet out and hold it up and say, "There's blood on it." They're man and wife. A covenant's been made, and it's permanent. And everyone would rejoice, and then they would have a feast for several days, rejoicing in this wedding, this marriage that had taken place. But if there was no blood and the woman was found not to be what she was, the groom had a choice. He could say, "This is not what I bargained for. I don't want her." Or he could spill some of his own blood and put it on that sheet and say, "Here it is. I'm going to accept it. I'm going to accept her." You and I are betrothed. You and I have no blood of our own that will pass that test. You and I are going to stand before the bridegroom or the groom. And he's going to decide whether we're worthy of his precious blood or not. He's going to examine us. Were they faithful? Were they loyal during their betrothal period? Were they perfect? And he's either going to accept us or reject us. If we're just saying, "It's your blood, all you have to do is put it on there, it don't matter how I live. Shed your blood. All you got to do is put it there. I'm not worthy of it. I'm not even going to try. I'm going to live how I want to. I'm going to learn theology instead of walking with you and being faithful. Because I know your blood is all it takes. You've already shed it. Just put it on there. It ain't going to work. You're not going to trample that blood. You're going to hear His voice. Jesus said, "My sheep know My voice. And they hear Me. And what I tell them to do, they do." They look at the Bible, and it's their guide. It's not a law book. It matches the voice that they're hearing from above of our bride, of our groom. And we're doing all we can to please Him. Here I am. I've got a second chance. I don't have any blood of my own that'll pass the test when I get in there with Him, whenever I'm there before Him. I don't have it on my own. So I'm going to strive to be accepted by Him. I'm going to live as pure as I can. I'm going to be as perfect as I can. Because I want to please Him. So that He will graciously apply His blood in my behalf. So that He can bring it outside the tent and show it to everyone. There's blood on this. I'm taking this one. I'm going to accept this one. I'm choosing this one. They took the opportunity that I've given them to hear Me now and to obey Me and to follow Me and to do My will. Listen. That's what fasting and that's what prayer is for. Examine your life. Just take some time and just listen. And if you don't know for sure, share it with one of the brethren. Ask them. What do you think I should do here? Bring forth, therefore, meat, fruit for repentance. If you've offended someone and you know it, and you know they're mad at you because you did something wrong, leave your gift there at the altar and go fix it. If there's a way you can repair something that you've done wrong, you go fix it. Don't leave it undone. If there's something that you could do and will not or did not do it, you're not where you're supposed to be. Fix it. when you're hearing God's voice, sometimes He just speaks to us and says, what about this? Do you remember that? Go take care of it. That's evidence. That's fruit for repentance. You're doing something wrong. You're living wrong. You know it. Fix it. You know God wants you to be doing something and you just keep putting it off. Fix it. Be worthy of the blood. Don't get proud about it. Verse 14 in chapter 2 of Romans says, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. Their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. God's law is written on the heart of every man. Do what you know to do is right. There's a right and there's a wrong. Do what's right. Be honest. Be faithful. Be loyal. Do what's right. Be patient to those who are without. I just marvel sometimes how merciful God is to me. I could have been born in the middle of the Amazon, running around naked, blowing darts at monkeys, looking for something to eat. But I grew up with one of these. I grew up hearing about this book. And I still didn't hear it. But God kept speaking. And one day, I decided I wanted to listen. How merciful and how gracious He is. We have no business getting mad at somebody because they don't follow God. I don't have any blood of my own to offer as a pure virgin before God. I served His enemy. Willfully. And I want to serve Him just as willfully. May the Lord add His blessings to His word. Father, we thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy to us. Help us to be perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect, forgiving and having mercy. Lord, that their ears may be opened, that they might hear, and their eyes may be opened, that they might see. We just thank you, God, for your goodness again. Give us wisdom. Help us be faithful to you, in Jesus' name. Have anything they would like to add or share? Already knows, Lord willing, we're going to meet at Roaring River this evening and have a baptism. The Spencers asked to be baptized, so we want to go down there and take him to the water. Try to be there as early as we can, 5:30, 9:45. Is that all right? So we can get right on around. So, Lord willing, next weekend I'll be gone to India. So pray for that. There's some new pastors coming, Brother Roger said, to the meeting, so anything else need to announce? All right, well, God bless you. You're dismissed.